going on. What it is, maybe I'm that tired or something. I don't know. I didn't think I was. Thought I was doing pretty good compared to some Sundays. It's good to see you this morning. We're talking through the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, let's just go ahead and do the Bible thing. If you don't have a Bible with you, we've got ushers and they got Bibles. And if you need a Bible, throw your hand up and they're going to bring you one of those. We'd love for you to have one. If you don't own one, you can keep it. If you just left it, you can borrow it and stick it back on the shelf on your way out when you're leaving this morning. We'd love for you to have it so you can follow along with us. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5 today. So just throw your hand up. Don't make these guys walk the aisles for no reason at all. Maybe you've got a Bible and you just feel sorry for them. Just raise your hand and get one, okay? Now, while you're doing that, just want to make mention of this, and then we'll be talking about it, I know, at the end of the service. Plunge is coming up toward the end of this month. I can't remember dates, so it'll be on screen. Somebody else will talk about it, so it doesn't really matter. I'm just kind of making you aware. If you don't know what plunge is, we do a creek baptism every year toward the end of the summer, where we basically just have a cookout and everybody brings food, big old potluck deal, and it's awesome, and it is a great time, and it's a time when we can celebrate who Christ is and what He's done in us, and it's a chance and opportunity for those that know Jesus as their Savior to be baptized if they've never been baptized. And if you don't know what baptism is about, and honestly, there's a lot of people that don't. A lot of people have baptism mixed up with all kinds of things. Biblically speaking, baptism, this is not my opinion, this is what the Bible teaches us. Baptism is something that we do to show the world what Christ has already done in us. It does not save us. Jesus saves us, okay? And so, if you've never been baptized, you know the Lord, and you're thinking, you know, I need to do that. I need to go public with my faith and share with the world what Christ has done to me. This is a great opportunity. Come talk to us. Come talk to us at the end of the service. There's going to be a sign up out there. If nothing else, if you don't have time to talk to us today, sign up. We'll get in touch with you at the front desk on your way out or whatever. And we just want to sit down. We sit down and talk with everybody that wants to be baptized. We sit down and talk with every single one of them before we do that. That's not something that we take lightheartedly. And we'd love to do that. We'd love to spend that time with you guys. And if you want to be a part of that, that'd be great. Today we're talking about this passage of Scripture that honestly, normally, is probably held together with some of the verses that I'm leaving out today. And I'm doing that on purpose because I really feel like that there's some things for us to learn about this thing if we can split it in half. And I would rather us learn as much as we can about, you know, both halves separately than to throw it all together in one thing. And if you've ever heard the phrase, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now that's a verse, that's a passage of Scripture, you know. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, this passage is, that's from the Old Testament. This passage is Jesus really teaching taste and see. And today we're talking about the taste part of this. And so we'll be talking about some different things, not just taste, but taste is a big part of it. And specifically, the subject of salt is a big part of it. I don't know about you, but I don't mind a little bit of salt on some of my food. You know what I mean? I had some hot chicken yesterday, and praise the Lord for that. And it was amazing. And I got fries with it. And on my fries, I want salt. It's just one of those things. But I want seasoning salt. You know, it's an amazing thing. It's a great thing. Well, we have actually been called to be salt. But many of us have heard this. Many of us have heard it talked about that we're called to be salt in this world and everything. But the truth is that so many of us don't really know what that means. Okay? And so as we're going to study this today, and we're going to talk about what it means to be salt. Matthew chapter 5. And we have finished up with the Beatitudes, the first part of chapter 5 in the book of Matthew. And this is all part of the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. This is the sermon that Jesus taught. And we walked through the Beatitudes, and many of you have been here through that. And week by week, we've gone through each one. And amazingly enough, I mean, God has just really spoken to our hearts in so many ways through that. And if you've missed out on that, we will soon have that up on the internet where you can go back and listen to any that you might have missed. And our guys told me specifically to let you know that they are working on that and trying to get that where you can go and check that out. But this comes right after the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are amazing. I mean, it's like Jesus coming right out of the chute. I mean, just really kind of wrecking the scene, so to speak. You kind of have to remember, you know, he's basically sitting down to talk and speak about some major issues with guys that pretty much think that they've already got it all figured out. Talking about like super uber religious people. You know any super uber religious people? You know what I'm talking about? You know those folks? I mean, like they've got it all figured out. You know, they already know everything. You can't teach them anything, whatever. I've had a guy on social media that's been just like constantly like posting on some of my stuff that I think he might be one of those guys, you know? And I don't know the guy, but I love him already, and I love the fact that he's got so much zeal, and man, I can post something, and like, boom, he's like up there, he's doing it. You know, just those people, they do that. And I think for us to recognize that God is always wanting to teach us and humble us, and for us to come with a spirit of humility, that's how we've been called to carry ourselves. In fact, Jesus says in the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are those who mourn. And he's talking specifically those who would mourn their sin and recognize their need for Jesus. Blessed are those who are the poor in spirit. These are all Beatitudes right out of the chute. This is the stuff that he started with to lead up to things like this. And what he was wanting us to understand was how desperately we need him. You know, I was talking with somebody recently who'd never heard the gospel before, and I was talking about how God is for his glory. He's for himself. I don't know if you've ever really thought about this or not, but being God is a self-promoter, okay? If there was anybody that knew marketing, it was God. He created the heavens and the earth and everything that it would give him glory. And it's real easy to look at that and go, man, God must be like an egomaniac. He's not. It's okay, all right? Here's the deal. God understands how desperately we need him and that we would need him, so that in order for us to know him, he made sure we wouldn't miss him. And so everything points to him. Our lives, we were created that we would point back to him, that we would give him glory, that we would make him known, that others would know Jesus because they know us. And so, you know, and you could go, well, I still think he's ego man. Well, I just look at it and go, I think he's trying to save us because he loves us. That's what I think. And I think that's what Scripture teaches us. And so as we look at this, even today, this idea of us to be salt, there's a piece of that even in that for us to be thinking about as we study through this. Let's just look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. It says this. It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. So, Jesus is being very specific. In fact, you could translate this, you alone, but you alone being you, my people, you, my creation, you, you sitting there right by yourself, you, the church, the body of believers, not a building, because the church is not a building, okay, it's the body of believers, that you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? And then it goes on talking about it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Well, I mean, Jesus, I mean, again, this is right off the Beatitudes. This is the first thing that he is beginning to teach us outside of the Beatitudes. The last Beatitude, he kind of elaborates a little more on. We talked about that. Blessed are the persecuted. And that happens because we've been following Christ. We've been going. We talked about the sandwich deal with the Beatitudes. Go back and listen to the podcast. You'll pick up what we're talking about here. And some of these pieces, some of these amazing things that we see Jesus purposely, how he lines these out and how they fit together and how they work together is this amazing thing. But it's this strategy for us when we know nowhere else to go, that we could look at the Beatitudes and we could follow through them and go, you know what, if I'm going to spend time mourning my sin, if I'm going to spend time recognizing how desperately I need Jesus, I begin to thirst and hunger for righteousness. And my life begins to change because I begin to seek after him. And my life begins to change where things like grace and peace and all these things start pouring out of me. But what happens What happens when God begins to use us, we already know the answer to this, what happens when God begins to use us is that we may be persecuted. And so with that being the case of us possibly being persecuted and probably being persecuted at some point in time, you know, we have this understanding that things are going to come against us. Things are going to, it's not a Cinderella story. If you ever heard somebody tell you that if you just come to know Jesus, that everything will just be okay and your life will be happy all the time, they lied to you. Now, yes, you in Christ, between you and the Lord, yes, you will be okay, and that's an amazing transformation that happens in our lives. But the truth is that if they sold you the Cinderella story, they sold you a lie. Because the Christian life is one where we will be persecuted, and we will have to suffer at times. And I know that's like, oh man, thanks for that. You know, that's really encouraging. Thanks, Chris. I'm going to jump on the bandwagon right now. You know, no, listen, it's an amazing thing to get to walk with Christ in your life. It is an amazing thing to allow Him to lead you, allow the Holy Spirit to lead you through this life. Much more amazing that when things come against us, that we don't come against them alone. He is with us. And when He says you are the salt of the earth, this is a big statement. He's saying you hanging out, you sitting there, you standing there, you listening right now, you are the salt of the earth. Think about this for just a second. Jesus created all things. And if He says that we are the salt of the earth, there has to be a really big reason behind that. Because even without us knowing what that means, and we're going to talk about it in just a second, but even without us knowing what that means, we have to look at that and go, you know what? Jesus could have picked anybody to be the salt there. Of course, you're thinking, well, I'm not sure it's like being salt, like that really that big a deal. Yes, it is a huge deal. It is a huge deal. So why salt? Why be the salt of the earth? We're going to go back to talking about what if it lost its taste and some of these other things. But the first reason that I think that Jesus understand that we were to be salt was that salt, as we know it, is a preservative. If you go historically speaking, especially at that point in time when Jesus is sitting down and talking with these folks in particular, they're thinking about how they use salt. Now, we think about how we use salt. I'm immediately thinking about French fries I had with hot chicken yesterday, okay? But for, you know, them at that point in time, they're not thinking about French fries and hot chicken. And that is to their fault, and I'm sorry for them that they never got to experience that. But for them, they thought about salt as a preservative. I mean, salt was used, and you go all the way back to Leviticus chapter 2, you can go look in there, and you'll see that salt was seen and used as a preservative for all kinds of things. Things that would be ruined, like meat. I mean, you know, if you slaughtered the cow, and, you know, we're just going to go put the meat in the deep freeze in our thatched cottages, you know. No, that doesn't work. They didn't have deep freezes. So they had to use things like salt. And salt preserved the meat. They would use salt to preserve a dead body in time for it to be ready for burial, for them to have a funeral. I mean, there's so many things that are going on with this. And so us understanding that they're looking at this as a preservative is a huge deal because He's speaking to them. And we need to recognize how they were understanding this. Now, I think there's more to it than that, and we're going to learn more than that. But being a preservative is the big deal. Jesus looks at us as being a part of keeping this world from further decay. God wants to use us. Now here's the deal. The message today is surrounding a lot of what Jesus is saying and us understanding how does it pertain to us. And I'm just going to warn you right now that the majority of the message is like helping us to understand that this life, that this worship experience, and I'm not talking about right now on Sunday morning. I mean, it's part of it, but it's just a piece of it. But our life is a worship experience, okay? Our life is a worship service that we have attended whether we want to or not. And in the midst of that, we have been called not to be sitting on the sidelines. It's not a spectator sport. We don't watch everybody else do it and just go, "That's good for them. That's good for them." You say, "Well, Chris, no, I can't." You're right, you can't. You can. You can. And you will completely miss why God created you. You will completely miss the calling that He has given us as believers to follow Jesus if we do that. And Chris, well, it's kind of harsh. It's kind of, you know, I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm just telling you. Like, I think so many people are missing it. And I don't think that they mean to be. I don't think that they realize that they are. But I think as you read with me in God's Word today, I think you're going to understand a little more of even what I'm saying. Matthew was written to the Jews, and they understood this background completely, that they, when they heard that they were to be salt, they understood they were to be a preservative for this world, to save the world from further decay. Daniel Montgomery says this, it's like Jesus was saying, the world apart from God is decaying. It's going bad. It's rotting. Jesus knew that when the world is left to itself, it just goes bad. Jesus knew that when the world is left to itself, it just goes bad. There are two things that he also says that can help us from falling into error on this. And two understandings, and the first one is this, that the world is basically good and left to itself, that it will get better. We really think that the world is basically good and left to itself, it's just going to get better. No, we don't believe that. I mean, the crazy is hitting the fan all around us. Every one of us see it. I mean, we almost don't want to turn on the news. I mean, I don't know if you feel that way, but I feel that way. Almost just like, I almost don't want to know. There's times in my life when I have been there, when people say, "Hey, you know what's going on?" I'm like, "Man, I don't have a clue." And some of it's busy being busy. Some of it's like, I haven't wanted to know. The truth is, I need to know. We need to know. Because God's called us to care. Because we know that the world is not basically good, and it's not going to get better on itself. The other thing that will help us to fall into to one of these things that we don't need to fall into is that the world stinks, it's rotten, so we should have nothing to do with it and just let it all go to you know where. Right? That's another thought. Like, we're just like, you know what, it's just so bad, I'm just staying away from it altogether, and it can just go to where it's going to go on its own, and it just be on its track, and it'll just do its thing. And I get the understanding of, you know, we want to protect ourselves, we want to protect our families, we like comfort. In fact, we make an idol out of it. We worship it more than we worship Jesus some days of our lives, if we're just real honest. I mean, we love comfort. We love locking a door. We love knowing that nobody's coming after us. There's folks here that can tell you about what it's like to live life with no one when people are after you. One of our guys just shared some stories with me one day, just some stuff he's been through in his life, his former life, if you will, of things that he went through, and just wondering, you know, day to day when he would go start his car, if it would blow up or not. That's crazy. It's crazy to think about. The truth is that we love comfort so much, we worship it. And we do everything we can to get it. Our air conditioning goes out on our car, we're freaking out. What are we going to do? The air is not working right. It's only working half the time. I'm going to be sweaty when I get to work. Our presence in culture, Jesus has put us in culture so that our presence in culture will help keep it from rotting. Our presence on the earth will keep the world from becoming worse than it already is. God has called us to be a part of the deal. It's so easy for us to want to run and hide and lock our doors and just be in our safe place. And you know what? We're just so busy, and we've got all this stuff going on, and you know, and what we end up doing is we completely miss being a part of the kingdom. This is for the kingdom. Our life is for the kingdom. We make it about a lot of other things, but the truth is that Jesus created us for His glory. that he would be made known in us, and that this place where we exist and live and breathe and all these things, that we would help keep it from further decay. That we would be lights. We'll talk about that next week. Jesus calls us to be a preservative. This is just an understanding that they have, that we probably wouldn't have as much, because we don't think about salt as a preservative a lot of times, just in this day and age, because of all the other things that we have on our side, whether it's refrigeration or whatever it is. What we can't do is we can't throw up our hands and hide. We can't, because we're called. I'm going to say it again. We can't throw up our hands and hide. We can't, because we're called. This is so important for us. This is so important for us in the mission as the church. God has a mission, and the church is a part of it. I think a lot of churches are guilty, and I've been a part of it. I've been a part of the problem at times in the past when I look back on things. That it's real easy for us to get a mission. Like we get a mission, or a church body of believers, they get a mission, and then they take it to God and say, "Okay, God, bless our mission." Well, I think the key for us here is that we recognize what God's mission is, and that we join Him as individuals and as the church, and that we would follow Him, and we would run after whatever that mission is. We'd go after that. Of course, the majority of that mission, we understand it to be, for His glory. But we understand other things. It's not just love God, it's love people. It's love gospel. It's make disciples. That we would live out who God has called us to be. I think that there's other things also, though, as other than just being a preservative. I think that one of the reasons that Christ says what He says when He says, "You are the salt of the earth," is that we would have flavor. We think of salt, most of the time, we're thinking about flavor. We're thinking about, well, it's got too much salt, it's got not enough salt, need no salt, want a ton of salt, whatever it is. Can't have a tomato without a little salt, right? Luke 14, verse 34 says this. Luke 14, verse 34. It says, "Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored?" Sound familiar? "It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Salt has taste. If it has no taste, then it's lost its saltiness. If salt is no good, what's its point? Well, we read in the first passage that we read today out of Matthew chapter 5 that it's just no good. It's just something to be trampled on. It's basically dirt. One of the issues that they had at that time is that they would a lot of times get salt from places like the Dead Sea. And specifically when they would get salt from the Dead Sea, one of the issues that they had when they got salt from the Dead Sea was that there was a refinery process. And of course, they didn't have refineries like we have refineries today. And so they're doing the thing and trying to get the salt. But the truth is that the process wasn't all that great. And so a lot of times they would get salt that wasn't really salt. It was actually other things, other properties. It was not sodium chloride. Or it would be salt mixed in with other things that might look like salt that were not salt, like sand or whatever it is. And at the end of the day, their salt seemed to have lost its saltiness. And they're like, "Well, what good is this kind of salt?" So they had an understanding of what Jesus was saying much further than you and I are typically thinking about when we think about salt. So, here's the truth about salt. The truth about salt, and we're going to talk about this a little more in a minute. The truth about salt is that salt does not lose its taste. Real salt doesn't lose its taste. The flavor aspect of us understanding that Christ would call us to be salt here on earth is very important for us. I ask you this question. What do you think the world looks at the church? Do they, when they look at the church, do you think that they, that the church offers flavor? Or do you think the world looks at the church and says, that's bland? What do you think Jesus wants the world to look at the church and see? You know, so many people say, I want to go to a church that like really lives what they're talking about. They practice what they preach. You know, they're going after it, you know, and all these things. And it's almost like we're signing up for like Sam's Club or something, you know? It's like if I just get a membership card and then, you know, I can kind of come and go as I please. You know, but the thing is, the difference, huge difference here, is that Sam's Club, that is 100% consumer deal. Like, we go to Sam's Club to consume. We generally, we don't go to Sam's Club thinking like, man, I'm going to go to Sam's Club today.